Hare Krishna. So tonight is the final segment of our pastime, and I would like to read you something that I found when I was looking for clues how to present this wonderful pastime to you. In this Leela, one should see the gradual development of astonishing events. When the devotees consider these things, they spontaneously understand. And then, going forward in the story to the end, and going back in the story to the beginning, one will regard all this as most clearly astonishing. Each word, each sentence, each verse and topic in this pastime, from the beginning to the end, is filled with more wonder than anything previous. This pastime can only be understood by those with devotion. So there should be in the minds of the hearers many, many questions. But what about this? And how come that? And how did that happen? As they're proceeding in experiencing this wonderful Leela. So one question that arises a lot of times in people's minds is, how many sets of boys and cows were there? Well, actually we discover that one went with Brahma, one was Krishna, and then there were the original ones. So there were three sets. This is a totally amazing story, actually. And then you may ask, what happened to the original ones whilst Krishna was impersonating them and Brahmaji had put the other set to sleep? What were the original ones doing? So what were they doing? What did they eat for a year? How did they survive? Where were they? Didn't they feel lost and cold and confused? So in brief, the commentators on this pastime, they explained that the real ones were undiscoverable by anyone in Vrindavan. So mystical. They were hidden exactly where they were. And this was the work of Krishna's Yoga Maya. And she also hid Agasura's body. Because if they came across Agasura's body, what's that? So none of that was actually visible or comprehensible to the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna is not under the control of time as we are familiar with. And hence, by the work of Yoga Maya, these boys felt no inconvenience whatsoever as time passed miraculously swiftly. So let us now hear the end of this wonderful display of mercy upon Brahma and all the residents of Vraj, as well as ourselves. As four-headed Brahma spoke his carefully composed and highly philosophical prayers, full of excellent Siddhanta and perfect Vedic wisdom, Krishna, who was playing the part exactly like an innocent cowherd boy in Vrindavan, he maintained his role as a young gopa and he remained silent. His silence indicated the following thoughts. Where did this four-headed Brahma come from? What's he doing? What are these words he keeps on speaking and speaking and speaking? I'm busy looking for my calves. I'm just a little boy. I don't understand any of this. Thus, while the most intelligent master of the universe offered exalted glorification, Krishna did not say anything. He only slightly smiled because he saw something quite astonishing. While one of Brahma's mouths spoke these prayers with great respect, all four of his mouths simultaneously made sound. This was interesting. Seeing that Krishna was not even looking at him and he wasn't saying anything, Lord Brahma, he said, I have prayed for you to make me a blade of grass in Gokul. But there has been no response from you, not even a glance. So what more can I do standing here? It is better that I quickly go away, for I am an offender and I have interrupted you. I am deprived, however, of even one drop of nectar or one word from your lips. Feeling greatly ashamed that I interrupted your play with your calves and friends, I will now allow you to finish your pastimes with lively exchange and eating here on the bank of the Jamuna. What indeed can I ask from you in my tremulous condition? You know the power of my mind and my words and my body. I am not the master of the universe. Feeling ashamed and uncomfortable, Brahma now requested to leave. Not because he wants to, but because the Lord remained silent. All that I spoke to you, or all that should be spoken about you, seems like merely a repetition of words. You know everything. Your powers and my powers, your mind and my mind. You know what I do not know. Without your permission, it is not possible, even for grass, to have auspiciousness in the form of grass. I cannot give up my position as the creator of the universe because you have offered it to me. I must carry out your order as a servant. Brahma, completely humbled, understands that Krishna could possibly object and say, you begged just now for a birth in this place, so why are you going elsewhere? He thought his reply should be, I cannot stay here in this devata body with four heads. You are eager to enjoy with your devotees under the control of their love. O Krishna, dear to the people of Braj, you are the master of the universe. I offer to you what you have offered to me. Here, Brahma begs that Krishna should remove Brahma's own subtle atheism, which has led him to try to exert illusory power over Krishna. Hearing Brahma's words, Krishna smiled, but he did not speak. He seemed to be saying, although we are only cowherd people, we can understand you completely. And although you are the great Brahma himself, you do not understand us at all. What more can we say? It was a fact that Brahma had considered Krishna to be an ordinary cowherd boy, and in his bewilderment he had treated him as such. However, now, as he gazed at wonderful Krishna standing before him like a small gopa boy, his eyes were full of tears. Humble and silent, with folded hands, his hair standing on end, with genuine devotion, Brahma now bowed down again and circumambulated Krishna three times. And then he left for his own abode. In his heart, Krishna accepted Brahma's prayers. He did not consider Brahma's offense, his offense, as significant. Yet he did not respond to his prayers because he was far more interested in rejoining his cowherd friends for their picnic lunch on the bank of the Jamuna River. So after Brahma departed, Krishna quickly rejoined the calves who were peacefully munching on the green grass. Then, rotating his stick above his head, he signaled to all the calves, and they ran so quickly that half the eaten grass fell out of their mouths onto the ground. He took them from where they were a year earlier and brought them to the river bank where he had previously enjoyed a picnic with his friends. Do you know that great yogis who perceive this pastime laugh with transcendental bliss? As soon as Krishna saw the cowherd boys, who appeared exactly as they were before, although somewhat increased in size due to a year's growth, they too no longer felt any distress or separation. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, they had passed an entire year apart from the Lord of their lives. Yet they felt that it had only been a half a second. They did not notice that the time, the place, and all the circumstances were now suddenly different. Overwhelmed with love, these Gopa boys excitedly spoke to Krishna, who they believed had quickly returned. "Oh, brother," they said, "you're back with the calves. Excellent, sadhu, excellent. After defeating the soldiers of the enemy, we thought that you would take a long time to bring these calves from so far away. But you have brought them in an instant. We have not eaten anything. We've just been sitting here waiting for your return. So come and join us. Let the calves eat the green grass peacefully and come and join us with great excitement. Let us all eat together. Now take your seat and eat your meal without distraction." Krishna broadly smiled and he accepted their invitation and he began to enjoy his lunch and his lunchtime company just as before. While eating, he was thinking, "These boys believe that I have come back within a second. They do not know that the whole last year I have been involved with the mystic activities of Lord Brahma." Illuminated by their bright smiles and faces, the young boys looked so sweet and beautiful. And as they surrounded their dear friend Krishna, the remover of all fear, the loving relationship that they shared with him freed them of all agony and distress. While sitting, eating, laughing together, Krishna tried to cheer the boys, to alleviate the fatigue they felt in their arms and their legs from playing so many games. To get relief from the scorching sunlight, Krishna and his friends put on refreshing flower garlands. And then they lay down under the shade of a big tree. Using the thigh of one of the boys as his pillow, Krishna briefly rested. Seeing their happy faces, he felt unlimited joy within his heart. After relishing exchanges of transcendental love, he decided to conclude the joyful picnic, and let's all now go home. Above their heads, the sun rushed across the courtyard of the sky to enter his house in the western direction and meet his loving wife. During the day, to reduce the burning pain of separation that the sun was feeling for his wife, he radiated blistering heat waves upon the people of the earth. But now, as the rays of the setting sun reflected across the courtyard of the sky, Krishna decided to bring the calves all back home. When the cowherd boys blew their flutes, their buffalo horns, and called all the calves, the vibration echoed in all directions. Anticipating separation from Krishna, the boys began to feel empty and unhappy as they reluctantly left the forest for their homes. But when they saw rain clouds racing across the sky, they quickly gathered all the calves and walked home. While they were returning from the forest to their homes in Braj, Krishna took the boys by a separate route and he showed them the dried up skin of the dead serpent Agasura. Yogamaya had kept the snake's skin invisible for that time. And now, seeing it once more, the boys immediately remembered their adventures of playfully entering into the snake's mouth and being saved by Krishna. And they decided that this place could be a giant cave where they could have a fabulous time in many future pastimes. Krishna wanted them to see this because he wanted them to share this when they got home. As they reached the edge of the village, the calves became eager to drink their mother's milk, and they extended their front legs and tried to run quickly. However, since Krishna, who was the dearest thing to them, was behind them, their rear legs refused to cooperate with their front legs. And thus, they couldn't run very fast. As Krishna played his flute, a flood of nectar poured from his lips. And drinking that sound through their ears, the Brajavasis became mad. Due to their intense affection, the hearts of Nanda and Yasoda melted in ecstasy. Allured by the sweet sound of Krishna's flute, they anxiously hurried to the town gate to greet him. The mothers of the other boys also ran happily to greet their sons and cleanse the dust from their bodies. Decorated with a peacock feather, flowers and leaves, painted with forest minerals, and a bamboo flute loudly and festively resounding, little Krishna entered Braj, dressed in his forest attire calling each of his cows by name and becoming intensely joyful from once more associating with the boys and the calves. His joy that day increased so much because now he had his calves and friends back with him again. So he loudly sounded the flute and the horn and danced, and the boys sang and danced, and then they started telling everything of what had happened during the day. Hearing their songs, the people of Braj thought, by hearing these songs, both sinners and saints will attain the perfection of their desires. Seeing him back, his mother and the other ladies returned to life, being almost dead in his absence. Mysteriously, somehow, seeing him now was more joyful than seeing him previously. Very mysterious. Do you know why? Because Krishna's joy had increased unlimitedly because the real calves and cows were once more with him. The boys were so proud of Krishna's wonderful activities and they all sang his glories. Although Krishna had killed Agasura a year earlier, they thought that on that very day Krishna had killed the demon. And with great excitement and animation, they told the wonderful pastime. They sang, "Today the son of Nanda killed a snake and rescued us from danger. The snake's lips were like many, many rain clouds, and his teeth were like big mountain peaks, and his breath, it was like a smoky, fishy-smelling wind that was coming like from a forest fire. And his forked tongue was like a highway. We made guesses about it, and then we laughed. We said, although we could clearly see it was a snake, but we said it was a mountain, and we entered within it. We marched into the snake's belly, but then, separated from Krishna, we fainted. Out of his great love, our friend came in and found us, and he restored our consciousness by showering us with the nectar of his glands. He brought us out of the snake, and he showed us all of what had happened. In this way, Krishna, who is more dear to us than our very lives, he saved and protected us." This is what they were singing when they arrived. And when they reached their own houses, the boys continued speaking constantly, constantly about Krishna. "Mother, Ma, Krishna is so wonderful. He knows the topmost magic. We were trapped inside the giant snake and he was burning us like poison. And Krishna came inside and he saved us. We saw him do amazing things." Then Krishna entered the cow pasture of his father, who ordered others to bring in the wandering calves. Then Nanda Baba embraced Krishna and held him to his chest. And then, holding him by his side, he ordered, pointing his index finger, he ordered his personal attendants to quickly serve Krishna. They carefully bathed him and fed him the finest well-cooked food. And charming lotus-eyed Krishna felt such relief in their tender care. Then his mother gently fondled her beloved son, whose body was as soft as a sarissa flower and as fragrant as musk. She fondled him and played with him and caressed him until Nanda Baba asked him to take rest. The following morning, as usual, the boys joyfully gathered together, and Krishna also approached Balaram and affectionately persuaded him to give up his anger. And then, filling everyone with wonder, Krishna and Balaram went out as before to herd the calves. Despite unlimited personal effort, one cannot understand these transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Even Lord Brahma, whose intelligence is topmost, became totally bewildered by this tiny boy. Thus Krishna's childhood pastime, his sporting with Balaram and the cowherd friends of Vrindavan has been described. Srila Sukadev Goswami gives us this assurance. Anyone who hears, recites, or chants this lila will surely get all his or her spiritual desires fulfilled. Hari bol, Hari bol. Krishna Balaram ki jai.